very excited about a feature called ScratchAuk Snapshots. It's going to make working with ScratchAuk a lot more easier.
That is Mohit Srivastava, lead developer advocate here at Salesforce. And I'm Julian Duque, your host for the Salesforce Developer Podcast. I'm here in the podcast, which are stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, we're going to have a special episode where I will be talking with Mo about the highlights for developers in the Spring 24 release. Well, today we are here with Mohit Srivastava, lead developer advocate at Salesforce, to talk about the release readiness live and the Spring 24 release for platform. What is there for us, the Salesforce developers. Thank you very much, Mo, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me again, Julian. Happy New Year to you and all our listeners.
Happy New Year to you as well. This is always exciting to know what's on the available for us developers on this release. You know, for those new to the Salesforce ecosystem, we have three releases per year. We have spring, we have summer, and we have winter. And today we are going to be discussing all of the features that are going to be available for the Salesforce platform for Spring 24. So Mo, let's talk about that feature that you are most excited about.
Yes, so I'm excited about a feature called ScratchAuk Snapshots. Now this feature is in beta. The reason why I'm excited about this feature is because, you know, I have been an ISV developer myself. Mm-hmm. And working with ScratchAuk, specifically when you're building on top of multiple packages or you have a lot of configurations that as a prerequisite for building your Salesforce apps, it's always a hassle to install all these packages into your org, configure them. You know, you might script it, but it takes some amount of time, you know, to get started with your ScratchAuk every time. And I'm excited about this beta feature because it's going to definitely make development and testing easier with ScratchAuk going forward.
Nice. And how this looks like, it's the snapshot is being created through the setup UI, or you will need to use the CLI for this. How this work? Practicing.
Yeah, so let me explain a brief of how this works. So to start with, right, what you do is you create a snapshot. So a snapshot is a copy of all of the data, metadata, and packages mm-hmm. in your org and all of the configuration that you have done to the ScratchAuk. So at a specific point in time, think of it as you're freezing that org, right?
Yes.
So you create a snapshot. So you can create, I think, 5 active snapshots per day. And then you can reference that snapshot to create ScratchAuk. So it's done through the CLI. And okay. Also, there is an API if you have to go through the API route. But we don't recommend. We generally recommend Salesforce CLI command. There's going to be a command actually that you can find in the documentation that I've linked in the blog post. So you can read this blog post on our developer website, Salesforce Developers Guide to Spring 14 release. And I have linked to the documentation, ScratchAuk snapshots, and they tell you the exact CLI commands that you need to create that snapshot or list all of these snapshots. And then it also shows you how you can use this snapshot to create your ScratchAuk.
Nice. And these snapshots can be shared with anybody from my team, or those are just for me?
No, it can be shared across the team. That's the beauty of it, actually.
That's a great, great feature for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned data. I also mentioned data there. Like, you know, you can basically have a snapshot with packages, metadata, and data, and all other configurations. Imagine all the settings that you do to your ScratchAuk. I think data is critical because, you know, to seed data into the orgs, you have to write additional commands and scripts. What you can do is you can have a ScratchAuk with all of your test data And then, you know, basically from that point, you can create a snapshot, and then all of your developers just create a scratch arc that gets all of these packages, metadata and data and all of the configurations that you need, saving you so much of time.
Definitely, I can see that it will save a lot of time. Well, we are developers. We love always knowing what's new with the languages we love. So is there going to be any new addition to Apex in this release?
Absolutely. Apex is getting some really important enhancements. So my favorite has been one of the enhancements, actually. It's improving the quality of life for all of our developers. The feature is called null coalescing operator.
Mm-hmm.
And Julian, you might know this from other languages, like JavaScript already has this nullish coalescing operator. And mm-hmm. I think this is similar here in Apex. So if you have like verbose null checks in your code, it's going to make it very easier to use this new operator.
And it's also great, at least in the JavaScript ecosystem, to define values.
Yes.
Default values for variables.
Absolutely. And this is what it does in Apex too. Like you can say, you can just write an expression basically using this operator, and it can set the default value based on whether the value is null or not. If it is null, it'll set the default value.
Nice. So every release we are getting more modern. I like this.
Yes. Absolutely.
Any other features to mention in Apex World?
Yeah, so there is a UUID system class that got added, and I think this is going to be a really interesting addition. I know a lot of developers have requested this. So this UUID class generates version 4 universally unique identifier directly in Apex. So we had Salesforce IDs, you know, those are great. But sometimes you still need to tag a record or maybe in memory a process with a very unique ID, an ID which is universally unique. And UUIDs are very common. It's there in all the modern languages. Apex has it now. So I'm excited to see what developers do with this. I think this is going to help all the developers who are using Apex for integrations.
Exactly. So, yes, I was thinking like to define an external ID or share a created Salesforce object with a third-party service and using that as the external ID for the relationship. It seems very, very good feature also as well for what you mentioned.
Yeah, and I think it's going to help all the developers who use something like Heroku Connect.
Yeah,
definitely. Because you can now have an external ID created in Salesforce and then sort of map that to the Postgres database there. Directly.
Nice. And most of the other programming languages I work for, they have a native version to create UUID. So this is something that was missing in Apex, and now we have it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Any other thing you want to mention here, or we continue?
Yeah. So I have documented all other features in this developer blog, the Salesforce Developer's Guide to the Spring 24 release. The other features that I would want to mention, which are in developer preview, actually. So I just want to remind all our listeners that developer preview features are for feedback, and they can share all of their feedback via Trailblazer community. And again, the link for that is shared in the show notes and also in the blog. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple of very interesting Apex features that we are looking for feedback. And you can enable them now in your sandbox and play with them and see if you like them. So one of them is ZipWriter system class. Again, ZipWriter, writing zip files or creating these zip files or unzipping, it requires some effort, actually. And we didn't have anything natively in Apex. So there is a ZipWriter class now. You can take a look at that class in your Scratch orgs. See if you like it. See if there are any feedback that you'd like to let us know. We'll be happy to take them before it kind of moves into further beta and GA state. And another very interesting class that we added is called Formula Evolve class. So typically, our developers use formula fields in Salesforce in the backend, in the data model itself. Now, sometimes you don't need that to be at the database layer. You might need that formula only within your Apex runtime. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to like make use of that database field. So, you know, we are adding this feature called formula eval class. So what developers would be able to do is write formulas within Apex and then use that to evaluate their Apex code. And you can write any formula that you are familiar with already on the platform. And this way, you know, you don't have to go back to the database CPU.
Yeah, I remember this feature. We mentioned it on the Salesforce Developers AMA with Daniel Ballinger.
Yes.
If you haven't seen that, please go ahead to the YouTube Salesforce Developers channel, and there you can find that AMA where a lot of different Apex features were discussed as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Any feedback here will be welcomed. You know, I think this is a great feature for ISVs to build those formula builders using custom metadata. So we are looking for feedback before this becomes generally available in further releases.
Beautiful. Now let's go to what I know most, which most people know that I'm a JavaScript person. Let's talk about LWC. What is new in LWC for the Spring 24 release?
Yeah, a lot of interesting features. Few would go through here in the podcast, but again, look through that blog that we'll use it in our show links here to learn about all of them. They have direct links to the release notes. So one of my favorite features in LWC that's going GA this release, generally available, this release is Lightning Web Components Workspace API. Now, console apps are very popular. Previously, you couldn't use Lightning Web Components on these console apps because there was no API. So our developers had to use Aura Components. And, you know, with Aura Components, it has its own programming model. And, you know, it's not so modern like Lightning Web Components that we all love with all the ES6 fancy syntax and all the performance gains that these Lightning Web Components provide. So now this Lightning Web Components Workspace API is generally available. We have a lot of LWC recipes for them in our LWC recipes app. So building console apps with Lightning Web Components is going to be fun going forward.
Nice. I also saw that the Lightning Record Picker component is also going GA on this release.
Great. Yeah, great that you reminded me of that. So the Lightning Record Picker component, I think, is going to be a game changer in how you design your screens, right? So if you have to search for records within Salesforce, you can now use this record picker. It's flexible. It, you know, you can add objects from the backend and handle events, on-chain events on them. So yeah, this is going GA. We already have a blog post for all of the developers looking to learn more about this. I've linked this blog post again in the show links, also in the blog. So go check it out. It's going GA, generally available. So hopefully that's going to save you a lot of time whenever you need to create a record picker for Salesforce application.
Yeah, that's what I know of the existence of this new component because of that blog post. So again, go ahead, check it out and check the show notes and obviously most blog posts about all of the features that are coming on the Spring 24 release. Anything else worth mentioning on LWC?
Absolutely. So there are number of, I would say, under the hood changes that I think is exciting and also at the same time going to boost the performance for LWC altogether. So the first thing that I want to mention is, or I want to remind that we have started versioning LWC components like any other Salesforce metadata. So what this means, Julian, is let's say that you upgrade your API version of the LWC component to 60, which is the API version in Spring 24. There are some things that is going to perform better. So, for example, So you know the spread and rest syntax
mm-hmm.
as a JavaScript developer, right? Now, we were not using the native JavaScript APIs for that. We had our own Babel transpiler for that. And the reason why LWC team had to do this way was because we had to support all the legacy browsers like Internet Explorer at that time that did not have this capability of JavaScript to use the spread and rest syntax.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are getting rid of all those code that we had in place as a workaround. So all that transpilation is going away and we are basically moving towards the standards, JavaScript standards, you know. So because we no more have to support these legacy browsers. So this is going to boost the performance because you're going to using the JavaScript APIs here right away.
Definitely. Embracing evolution. Love this. Love these.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. Also on the similar lines, right, there was also another feature, synthetic shadow DOM. So you know how native shadow DOM works, right? So native shadow DOM is the browser or the web components, one of the specifications. And the specification encapsulates all the CSS and the component for you from, you know, from other components on the page. So some browsers, again, did not have this native DOM support. So we had to use the synthetic shadow DOM previously for legacy browsers. So now what we have started to do from last release is get rid of this synthetic shadow DOM for a lot of our base components, like, let's say, Lightning Input, other base components that we have created, right? To use that native shadow DOM of the browser. Because, again, we don't have to support those legacy browsers anymore. Because they are end of life, for example, Internet Explorer, right? So we're really excited about the future here and how we are moving towards standards like native shadow DOM or using the native JavaScript APIs.
Wonderful. Okay, let's move to talk about development tools and development experience. Is there anything worth mentioning for this release?
Yeah, so one thing that's different for platform development tools, and I want to remind this to our listeners, is these tools get updated every 2 weeks, like Code Builder or Salesforce CLI or even the Einstein for developers. So every 2 weeks, you know, we upgrade the product. And there are some features that we are still finalizing again. So again, come back to this document to see what those features will be. We'll keep updating them for you. So a couple of features that I think are going to come soon. Again, safe harbor, because I think this is not yet like 100% finalized. We're still working on them. Is Einstein for developers is going to get test code creation capability.
Oh, nice.
Yes, that's going to be exciting. Really looking forward to that. And then inline, you know, code completion using prompts. So till now, they had to use this Einstein sidebar to write all of their prompts. Now you can just, you know, write inline prompts and it's going to start giving you suggestions, code snippets based on those prompts.
Definitely another game changer there.
Absolutely. And then I want to remind our listeners that some things are being retired for good, I would say. One of the things that we are retiring this release is Ant Migration Toolkit, which was primarily used for deployments. But, you know, so this has been their legacy. It's been there from like last 15 years or so. And the problem with Ant Migration Tool is it only supports deployment. And now with Salesforce CLI, you know, it supports everything, not just deployments, like, you know, retrievals, org management, packaging. So there's a lot more things that Salesforce CLI offers. And we don't want to maintain two different tool sets. So that's why we are sort of retiring Ant Migration Tool. So there is a blog post there, again, on our developers channel. We have also linked it here in the show notes and also in the blog post on how you can migrate your Ant Migration Toolkit to use Salesforce CLI. It's pretty simple, actually, and Salesforce CLI is easy to use, more flexible than Ant Migration Toolkit. You don't have to write a lot of XML scripts and stuff like that. There are commands that have automated all of these. So be on the latest is what we recommend.
Yeah, the message here is modernize, migrate to using the latest version of the Salesforce CLI, and also embrace Code Builder and the modern developer toolings we are offering to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And a reminder on that is also for Workbench. So I know there is a tool called Workbench that's open source. I just want to add that it is legacy and definitely not maintained by Salesforce. We never maintained it. It's just open source. It somehow got good attention. But we have decided to spend all of our energy on Code Builder and Salesforce CLI. So we recommend that move with the change, right? Or embrace this change and use Code Builder. Code Builder is awesome. It's available in your orgs. Use Code Builder or use Salesforce CLI. Workbench can have security issues and security vulnerabilities, and we don't maintain that anymore.
Nice. And also for calling APIs, you can use our Salesforce developers collection that is deployed and maintained in Postman.
Yes,
that's another one that you can use for API testing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now let's move to one of the two main protagonists for Salesforce lately, which are Data Cloud and Einstein. So first, let's talk about Data Cloud. Is there something worth mentioning there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Data Cloud is data is powering this whole AI revolution. And by now, I think everyone should be familiar that the companies which will have their data unified are going to be in great shape, you know, to use all those data for machine learning or, you know, grounding their prompts for generative AI to get the maximum benefit out of generative AI, right? So I think Data Cloud for us is I think it's a great innovation. And what I love about Data Cloud is that as it is maturing, right, every release. So first of all, Data Cloud gets, I think, released every month, you know, unlike other products where we release for like three releases, right? Data Cloud gets releases like every month. You know, there's some release that's happening on Data Cloud. It's one of the fast moving products here at Salesforce. And there are a lot of exciting updates that are happening. And as I said, I love Data Cloud because what I'm liking is most of the features that are getting built is not something new, right? I mean, it's something that you're already used to. So we are reusing all the technology that you know. So even as a Salesforce developers, there is some learning curve, of course, you know, but, you know, you can still use things like Apex and Flows and record-triggered flows and whatnot, right? Declarative UI and stuff. So that's what I love about Data Cloud. It's becoming very close to the platform, right? So the features that I'm excited this release is the first one that I'm pretty sure Julian you'll be excited to know is you will now be able to use Salesforce Flow to send data to the Data Cloud. So this flow uses the ingestion API to send data to the Data Cloud.
Oh, this is great.
I remember you creating some blog post on showing folks on how to, you know, do this through Postman.
Yeah, doing this like pretty much by hand.
yeah, exactly. So I think you still need to create those YAML files for connectors, right? For definitions and stuff. But like insertion, right? That can be done through the flows now. Whether it's screen flows or record triggered flows, you can insert. And that automatically has the ingestion API built into it. So that's going to be exciting, in my opinion.
I imagine it's taking care of the callout from flow to the ingestion API, and you don't need to do that callout by hand.
Absolutely. And again, you know, it's not just callout, right? I mean, you have to think about, you know, authentication and all those things.
Yep.
So this is great. The other thing I would like to mention is last release, we launched Data Cloud Triggered Flows. So there are demos already, and we show how to use Data Cloud Triggered Flows, which is just like record triggered flows, but it's on the data lake objects and it's on the data model objects in Data Cloud. Mm-hmm. So just a reminder for our listeners, right, that Data Cloud has its own objects like data lake objects and data model objects. And these objects are pretty different than how the objects in Salesforce, because these can have like billions of rows in them. You know, they have this big data power in them.
I was also waiting for this feature. I remember in TDX 23, we did a hack around this to be able to trigger a flow using data cloud information.
Yeah,
we used, and it wasn't native back in TDX 23.
I remember we wrote platform events.
Yeah, platform events, like deserializing JSON using Apex. It was fun, though, but I prefer to have like a native support instead of writing my own solution for this.
Yeah, so Data Cloud Triggered Flows was something launched last release itself, but this release we are adding the capability to easily debug them.
This is wonderful.
Yeah, and then I'm also excited about all of the, you know, the AI integration with Data Cloud.
Tell me more about that.
Yes. So one of the features that I am really interested to explore more and more is this functionality of data graphs. So a data graph basically allows you to like retrieve the entire customer 360 information in one single JSON object. Like imagine, you know, customer's data, like profile, and then the orders linked to the customer, all the order line items, assets, whatnot, right? So a data graph can be constructed now. So what I think the real importance of this data graph is, if you are building or if you have heard of generative AI large language models, you know that these large language models can generate better responses if you provide better grounding or you know, or better context with the data, right? With your private data. So, you know, of course, you want to mask all your private data and remove all the PII, etc., or mask it, right? So data graphs actually generate that information automatically from Data Cloud. So then you can use that data graph to provide that contextual grounding data to the large language model, so the responses are improved.
This is super powerful. And I love that now we are getting more integration with AI. And basically, AI is becoming also like a first-class citizen in our products.
Yeah, exactly. So Einstein Studio is another product, basically. It allows you to... We showed Einstein Studio in the last release as well. You can check out the release readiness live from last release. And you will see that Einstein Studio allows you to bring your own custom model from, you know, let's say you have your own custom model on AWS, right? Mm-hmm. You can easily bring that into Salesforce with clicks and then use within Salesforce flows. This is so powerful, and there are a lot of demos already on our YouTube channel, and we showed some live coding sessions with Danielle. So there are a lot of sessions on that. So if you have, you know, already created these ML models on, let's say, you know, on Google Vertex or Amazon SageMaker, something like that, right? You can reuse them in Salesforce. That's so cool. I think we are also adding Databricks to the game as well. So I love how open we are sort of allowing to reuse whatever our customers have built within Salesforce workflow.
Nice. We are running out of time, but I don't want to leave the last topic behind, which is APIs and integrations. So can we mention the most important features for you on this category? And also remember, all of them are going to be well documented in the blog post that Mo already published. But give me your opinion about, for you, the most important features around APIs and integrations for this release.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a number of features. And again, everything is documented, as you said, Julian. But how about I mention like two or three quick things that I think are going to be awesome?
Yes, please.
Like lightning round, you know. So one of them is GraphQL APIs. These APIs continuously are improving. Now we have increased the upper limit for retrieving the records to 4,000. Previously, it was 2,000 rows at a time. Now you can go up to 4,000 on them. Also, you can ask for returning these field labels in your local language. I think this is great. So that's about the enhancements to the GraphQL API. Also, named credentials that you would have known, that's used to make sure that you integrate with your external system securely. We maintain all the keys for you. That's getting packaging support, more formula functions, improved experience when you want to clone them in your sandboxes, or when you have to migrate them to different orgs. So that's exciting. The other feature that's really worth noting is the PubSub APIs are getting some improved event subscription tooling objects. So what this would do is it will make it very easy for our customers to subscribe to these platform events or change data capture using this PubSub API, which uses HTTP 2.0 client.
Nice.
Yeah. And then finally, last but not least, is we now have a Salesforce Connect adapter. We call it a Salesforce Connect adapter for SQL for Snowflake as well. So if you use Snowflake and if you have data there, you can just execute all those SQL queries within Salesforce. Your data will still be in Snowflake.
All of these features are great. I always love waiting each release to see what's new, where are we evolving, what tools and features are we giving our developers to continue building on the Salesforce platform. And thank you very much, Mo, for guiding us through this release. Where can we learn more about the Spring 24 release?
Yes, that's a great question, Julian. So we have this blog post on our developer.salesforce.com/blogs. There we have this post created called Salesforce Developer's Guide to Spring 24 release. We'll keep updating because there are a lot more features that's going to release in this month as well. So we'll keep adding them here. So think of this blog as a hub. And also I wanted to remind that there's going to be release readiness live webinar for developers. This is happening on 8th of February. We'll soon have the links again for them in our blog posts. And really looking forward to show some of these in action if you're a visual learner through our demos. So really looking forward to that. And finally, last but not the least, look for the official release notes. They have a lot more features that's going to be coming up.
Thank you very much, Mohit, for all of this information. And looking forward also for the next release to see what's on the table for us, the Salesforce developers.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
And that's it. If you want to learn more about this show, head on to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear all the episodes and read the show notes. Thank you, everybody, and talk to you the next time.